more negative Yankee news. Just when we get positive news about Jazz moving to second, the Yankee bullpen has suffered another blow. The Yankees announcing prior to tonight's game versus the Mariners, they are placing Mark Leiter Jr. on the 15-day IL with a left fibular head stress fracture. I'm going to say that again. This is from the Yankee Twitter account.
Left
fibular head stress fracture.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So there's two bones in your lower leg, the tibia and the fibia. Fibula.
Okay.
Fibula is the smaller one on the outside. It's the one that you often see broken when people think that they have an ankle injury.
Oh, okay.
It's a fibula. So the fibula head is the top of that bone. So up near your knee.
Okay.
At the bottom side. So the bottom of your kneecap. To me, that would be like cartilage damage. Maybe there's some wear, and I don't know, it chipped off a piece of the bone. It's an odd one.
Yeah.
Without an acute injury. And so it sounds like it must be a wear thing.
Okay, because I was going to say, I don't remember him getting hit with a line drive or anything
right.
in this weekend.
That's what you would think. But which one you said left?
Left.
And he's a righty?
Right-handed pitcher, so it's
so
his plant.
That's his land leg.
Right. Landing.
It's his landing leg. So maybe it's just wear.
Oh.
He's not old enough to have that, though.
No, but remember, he's a pudgier guy.
Yeah.
Does that matter a little bit?
I don't think so.
A little upper body landing with too much on there?
That is a unique injury, to say the least.
Well, that's Yankee baseball.
Right.
So Mark Leiter and obviously Fernando Cruz were the two guys out of this Yankee pen that were splitter heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, since Cruz went to the IL himself, we've seen an abundance of usage out of Leiter.
Who is in the bullpen anymore?
Well, so the corresponding move is the Yankees are recalling Clayton Beter. I mean, a whoopity-doo.
Right.
So you're going to need Weaver to figure this out. Obviously, Williams, I guess, is earning back the circle of trust. Loaisiga is so not consistent right now. And I think that's actually been even a bigger blow right now. I have trust that Weaver's going to find it. There's something off with him. Johnny Loaisiga has been a real issue for this team.
Weaver rushed himself back.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and so I think he'll be fine after he gets what, unfortunately, are his rehab starts.
Exactly, which is what this is going on. Right. And I think actually shutting him down again, All-Star break, is going to help as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a bullpen with a lot of holes right now for the Yankees. And a very important week. Not that they're playing division games, but playing good teams. And you're trying to find ways to get out of this. I mean, tonight, Will Warren's on the mound. Who has any confidence Will Warren's giving you any more than five innings tonight? And how are they getting these outs? In a game, by the way, where think about the Mariners' ERA and what they just did versus Pittsburgh. I don't expect the Yankees to score a ton of runs these next couple days the way they're going as well.
Well, the thing you worry about is if they struggle against the Mariners, then they back this one up with the Cubs, who are playing as good a baseball as anybody in the National League right now. And so you risk coming off a horrific two series with the Blue Jays and the Mets, going into two more horrific series, and then you go into a break.
Yeah.
Now maybe that break then becomes more needed, and hopefully you come back rejuvenated, but you also could come back seven games out of first place in the division.
You could. The freaking Blue Jays don't lose. They won again last night.
I know it. Nine in a row.
They don't stop. Now, the good news is I don't think the Blue Jays are going to go on some kind of Billy Bean A's-like win streak. So you would think that you're going to get – the Blue Jays are going to have to start losing games eventually. I mean, they're not that great. Let's be honest. They're not the 98 Yankees.
Right.
So,
unless they are.
But nonetheless, we talk about what the Yankees need at third base is, even when you address that, you're going to need two bullpen arms. You can't just sit and hope that with the way relievers are so up and down that Johnny Loaisiga is going to be this great pitcher. And you saw him pitch and they went to the well too much versus the Mets. I think Scott Efros now with Leiter out is going to earn some more high leverage spots too. But the one calling card you could at least count on with Brian Cashman's Yankees, for all his flaws in building a roster, is that he finds these bullpen arms and he figure it out. This really feels like the first bullpen crisis the Yankees have had.
This year,
Yeah, well, forget this year, in a couple years, where you just don't have trust at all.
Right, yeah, even last year when Clay Holmes got moved off the the closer role.
You had somewhere to go.
Well, he was actually pretty good, effective as in non-leverage situations like that.
Right, and they had
hit ground balls, get outs, get out of innings. He was good at it. Now you're starting to run into questions. Tim Hill, obviously, he's still relatively good, but you need Luke Weaver to turn back into Luke Weaver from a year ago, and Devin Williams has got to pitch like he did in his save opportunity on Sunday. So if they don't, then they're going to be in trouble because their bullpen's getting tasked almost every night with getting at least 12 outs.
Yeah, and
that's tough.
Fernando Cruz was a really big loss at the time. But remember, we were at a point in time in the playoffs that Mark Leiter didn't originally make the postseason roster, mm-hmm. and then because of injuries, he ended up there. Think about that. He wasn't trusted upon as much after the deadline to make that postseason roster at first, and now this is a relatively big blow to the Yankee pen, which shows you how far the pieces and dominoes have fallen. So while you get the good news that the Yankees have come to their senses, even though it's probably because of the All-Star game that Jazz has to go to second, you get the bad news here with Mark Leiter Jr. ending up on the injured list. Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. Gabe, what's up? You're on the show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Brutal. Brutal. Another one bites the dust, right?
Yep.
Look, I just want to say better late than never, okay, in terms of like, you know, what Boone did with moving Jazz to his correct position. I do want to say, however, that Brian Cashman's favorite movie must be Moneyball, because the amount of times that they put guys out of position over the last 3 years is absolute insanity. It's like, they're like, oh, I've never played third base before. It's not that hard. It's incredibly hard. You know, they don't seem to care, right? But there's kind of like a silver lining to all this, right? This really forces their hand at the deadline, not just in the third base side, but also in the bullpen, as you mentioned. Like, they don't have any other options but to go out there and make the splashes that Sean is talking about. Now, I don't think that J-Ram is realistic. I don't think that, you know, Bregman's a realistic option, and Suarez is going to be wanted by too many people.
Yep.
But getting the guys like the Hayes, the McMahons that are solid defenders but a little bit weaker with the bat, you know, make them the worst hitter on the team. But then, you know, everybody else still is good enough. I mean, look, the Yankees have scored 6 runs per game the last like 8, even with the lineup that they have.
Well, if you're not going to get a big bat, because that's what you really, really want, and what you would love to have in the Yankees lineup is a big bat at third base.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to get that, you might as well keep running Oswald Peraza out there.
Yeah.
He's a good defender. You just might as well hope that at some point he becomes a major league hitter.
You need the bat
right now.
You need the bat.
Exactly. So that's my point. Like, if you're not going to go get the bat because whatever reason they're not available, and I agree with you, Suarez is not going to be available. Some of these Bregman's certainly not happening. These other things, they're not happening.
The only thing you bring up, there's one thing: if Suarez isn't available and Arizona decides they're not going to sell, if Arizona is going to sell off a piece like that, what Gabe's excuse was is they're going to be too many people after him. I don't think that's a good enough excuse for the Yankees. Then you need to jump to the top of the line and be that team.
But how? So how is the question?
All right, here's what I would say.
What are you willing to give up? Are you giving up one of your best prospects in order to get him?
Now we're talking about
what is his contract? I'll look that up.
But what I will say is Suarez, as far as OPS, one of the premier home run hitters over the last couple of years in Major League Baseball. Right. So that is a guy you can slide behind Aaron Judge and give him that protection, plays that position of need. How many times are you going to do? Like last year, look what the Dodgers did the deadline where they, you know, all right, they get an Edmund, they get Flaherty. Those are the pieces that put them over the top. The Yankees sitting back and allowing other teams that are trying to vie for the same goal. If you're trading for Suarez, you're trading because you think you're a World Series contender, and beat them to the punch when you just won the AL last year and you're playing Judge's prime is not acceptable to me.
And he's free agent after the year.
And I'd look to sign him too. I would.
He's going to be 34 next year.
Okay,
so
but
it's just, you just don't want to create the problem that you're running into this year, which is guys aging out of being good.
Well, you know, he's not going to get a 7-year deal if you sign him to a 3-year deal, something like that. Look, all I'm saying is I've seen enough of Yankee prospects be not very good, like to put it kindly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peraza was a big prospect at one point. We've seen Volpe. We've seen guys be excluded from putting this team over the top in past years and trades that come here, and either they don't properly develop them or they've been disappointing. And that doesn't mean abandon everybody, because I love what Dominguez has shown. I don't want to abandon him. Yeah. And obviously, Judge was a prospect at one point. But how many years are you going to let go by and just accept that other teams have given up more in trades and gone for it more than you? At some point, you got to just put your chips down in the middle. Do you believe in the team or not?
Well, that's the question. And the question that Brian Cashman has to answer is this the team that's going to finally win us a championship, or am I punting for another year? Meaning punting is, I'm not doing much.
Right.
We're good enough to get at least there. And I think that's what they've been going with.
And it feels like wash, rinse, and repeat the same year. That's what's frustrating.
But it's also a level of success that most teams would I don't know. They would pine for.
You're right, but I'm tired of that level.
You know, so it's this is why people outside of New York say the Yankee fan is stupid and spoiled.
Because
you're constantly in the postseason. You make runs every now and then. I haven't been to the ALCS or hadn't been to the World Series in a while, but you got there last year. You're always in the postseason. Very rarely is it disappointing, knocked out in the wild card or the divisional round. And so that's not good enough, though. And
no.
So there's a weird kind of, like, a lack of acceptance of being just good.
Yes, and here's why. Are Yankee fans spoiled to the rest of America? I'm sure they are, and I'm sure I come
across
that way.
There's no doubt they are.
No doubt. And I'm sure you talk to Pirate fans, you could barely draw how many people would kill for the Yankees. No doubt. But here's the difference to me. Because baseball is unlike the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL in terms of salary caps, realistic salary floors, where everybody is spending in the same regime.
Yes.
The Yankees automatically have a jump because they're the Yankees in building a roster that some of those other franchises can't, which leads to the success. The Yankees, when they can pay Aaron Judge to stay and don't lose him like the Pirates will lose Paul Skeens and can afford to sign a big ace like Fried when they have Gerrit Cole,
right,
they will be able to outspend enough where they should be a 90-win team and in the playoffs every year. And that is where you get the wash, rinse, and repeat. But because you have a spending advantage in everybody else, that allows you to have those steady seasons. But does that allow you, or does that make you smart enough to build complete World Series champions? That's what's lacked. And this is where I'll give the Met fan their blood for a second. The 1 year in the Aaron Judge era, they made the World Series was because they took two of the top five players in baseball and put them in the lineup at the same time in Juan Soto.
Exactly.
And they caught lightning in a bottle with Giancarlo Stanton and they took off.
And you had basically a Cy Young level pitcher.
Yep. That is how the Yankees do things. But it doesn't mean because they win 90 games, like, oh, we're spoiled. It's because they're not properly built. Mm. And they run and hide because they could spend more than anybody else to do enough to keep yourself competitive. And then when times come at the deadline, because you've spent so much money to be competitive and you need the real finishing piece to make you a complete baseball team, you allow other teams to jump in front of you and make the deal? Like, should the Toronto Blue Jays be making a bigger deal than the New York Yankees at the deadline this year? No.
No, of course not.
Should the New York Mets, with all due respect, be making a bigger deal?
But do you think they will? That's the question.
They might.
And they might.
They might.
Well, we know this because the Mets were willing and they spent money this offseason on Juan Soto. We know that the Blue Jays were, even though they spent less money to re-sign Vlad, they spent the money, right? And so we know that they wanted to give away money. They just couldn't, at least not at the level they wanted to. So at this point, if you are the Blue Jays sitting atop the division at the trade deadline, why not?
Right.
Like, what the hell do you have to lose? Then go for it. The Mets, who have been trying to become World Series relevant ever since Steve Cohen, you know, took ownership of this team, why not? I don't think you can say that for the Yankees. There isn't that, oh, well, why not? That makes sense from a Hal standpoint. And so while you can scream and yell all you want, the Yankees should, the Yankees should, the Yankees should, I don't know if the Yankees are incentivized as some of these other teams to do what needs to be done in order to put a winner at the trade deadline.
That's disheartening.
It's the reality, though.
Oh, joy. It's breaking glass.
Okay, so this is from Brian Hoke on Twitter. Mark Leiter Jr. said he sustained the stress fracture in his left leg covering first base in the extra inning game at Cincinnati.
Excuse me?
When was that? He has not been given a timetable
for your inning game in Cincinnati.
That is a week and a half ago.
We're on to Cincinnati.
They went through that four-game series versus Toronto and then pitched him versus the Mets with a stress fracture in his leg?
Again, this is according to Brian Hoke on Twitter. Mark Leiter Jr. said he sustained the stress fracture in his left leg covering first base in the extra inning game at Cincinnati.
That was the extra inning game was June 24th. June 24th.
When does the incompetence end? Jazz Chisholm Jr. told us that for weeks he's been dealing with a jacked up shoulder that was hurting his throwing arm. And the Yankees kept running him out at third base despite the fact that he's a second baseman, knowing he was injured. And now this Yankee team with a beat up pen had a pitcher with a stress fracture in his leg that nobody seemed to notice for a week and a half?
2 weeks.
For 2 weeks?
Because it's the seventh now, right?
For 2 weeks, including an important four-game series versus Toronto. And I'd have to go back and look at his numbers and what he did there. And he came out and pitched versus the Mets. But the numbers are almost irrelevant.
And don't forget also, June 4th is when Clark Schmidt first complained of forearm tightness.
Correct. Great point, Rosie.
And a month later, and who knows if that was a factor or not, but he had it after the June 4th start against Cleveland.
Am I going nuts, or is this extreme incompetence from the medical staff and whatever the chain reaction is?
There's questions that need to be asked. That's for damn sure.
Forearm injury that led to Tommy John, where Clark Schmidt kept going out and pitching. And forget no-hitter comments here.
Yes.
Jazz Chisholm Jr. jacked up shoulder that we know the team was aware of, and we know that they kept playing him at third base despite that when the shorter throws are from second base. And you let one of the most important relievers go out there and keep trying to get outs with a stress fracture in your leg for 2 weeks? But we're nuts.
Right. So
the fans are nuts.
So he pitched the following week. So 6 days later, talking about Leiter. Mark Leiter.
We might need to sign out.
I know, right? He pitched a third of an inning, gave up 3 hits and 3 runs. The next outing against Toronto, pitched a third of an inning, gave up a hit and 2 runs. The next outing, also against Toronto, pitched an inning, no runs, and then obviously against the Mets.
So multiple outings with runs allowed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees didn't know, which is a problem in itself, or they did know, but then maybe not to the fact that it was a stress fracture, that he was dealing with something and kept running him out there, while knowing again about the Jazz shoulder thing and now waiting until after he gets elected to an All-Star to realize, oh yeah, it would stop making him make these throws. And Clark Schmidt now undergoing Tommy John when they knew he had forearm injuries and whatnot for the past month. Mm. That is three examples of this current organization that likes to thumb their nose at the fan base that screams and yells and tells them what they see wrong, that they know better than everybody. That is malpractice. And I love the New York Yankees. This is horrendous. Whoever is in charge or wherever the line of communication is, something needs to be fixed. That's unbelievable.
It really is. When you think about it, especially given that it happened 2 weeks ago, that there's either not communication with the players and the organization, or the players are lying about how they actually feel. But in a sport as delicate as baseball is, I don't mean that these guys aren't athletes, but a little injury, it will derail you. It will derail your season. It could derail your career if it's not treated properly. Why in the hell do you not know?
You keep letting Mark Leiter Jr. go out there and plant on a stress head fracture there?
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
Four more outings. Two and a third innings. His ERA was 15 in those four games.
I know a lot of people who aren't Yankee fans look at Yankee fans who complain. You know, we were just talking about this, about being spoiled or everything. Yankee fans are smart, and they know their team, and they're watching them. Not that we identified any of these injuries or anything. That is why we don't trust the Yankees. That is why when the other stuff adds up, why are you sitting Dominguez? Why is Volpe playing every day? And people want to, you know, yell at Yankee fans and go, trust the organization. They know more baseball than you've forgotten. This is why we don't trust the organization. And the way they've handled now three injuries on this team and basically being late to the party is quite frankly unacceptable. And I don't know whose fault it is, but it should piss you off if you're a Yankee fan.
More news from the Yankees.
Great.
This again, according to Brian Hoke. Jazz Chisholm Jr. is expected to be the everyday second baseman, which we know. Aaron Boone said that. Oswald Peraza is the third baseman tonight, and, quote, we'll see. Boone said there are no plans to play DJ LeMahieu at third base. Said, quote, physically, it's a challenge for him at this point.
So
physically, it's a challenge for DJ LeMahieu.
So, again, what Sean said is right. The DFA is coming.
Yep.
It's coming soon. And by the way, and so that means that Oswald Peraza is your everyday third baseman.
For now. Right? Yeah. Now, they did sign Candelario, but again. Whatever. Right. I just think ultimately he's going to end up playing more every day.
And to that point with the DFA, this is from Chris Kirschner. Boone on how DJ LeMahieu who took the news, quote, not great necessarily, but that's kind of the situation we're in right now.
I don't blame DJ LeMahieu, who is the competitor, for not taking that great.
Of course.
This is probably not the way he wants his career to end and go out. DJ LeMahieu, look, with all due respect, what's happened the last couple of years of getting older, that's happens, that's life. DJ LeMahieu was a good Yankee.
Yes, of course he was.
I don't have ill will towards DJ LeMahieu, the player or the person. He's just cooked.
You just can't keep running him out there,
right,
though. That's just what it is. Defensively, he can't get to his right.
Exactly.
He can't.
And look, the Yankees are, I thought, were trying to accomplish something here, win a World Series, although I have my serious doubts with the way they've handled all this. You can't just give a guy a participation trophy because he's been a good veteran for you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, DJ LeMahieu, maybe it happens with the All-Star break here. It's time to say goodbye.
It sounds like it's happening.
It's time.
There is no plan to play him at third base. Jazz is an All-Star second baseman.
Yep.
Where is he playing?
It's over.
He's not playing the outfield. He's not DHing for you because you're already overloaded at the DH. He's not doing anything.
Yep.
He is dead weight on this team.
It's over for DJ LeMahieu, and that might be sad for some of the Yankee veterans, but again, it's enough. We need players here who could play and have flexibility.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Remember, you can listen to Evan and Tiki in the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And if you miss any of the show today or any day, remember, you can listen to the Evan and Tiki podcast on the free Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Evan making his European trek, taking these 2 weeks off. Me and Tiki have been here. Tommy is going to give you a Cinco at the top of the hour. Not me today. Yesterday, we had a little hiccup. I didn't know how to toss to myself and come back out of it. But Tommy is going to reset the story of the day in Cinco, earlier the story of the day, which was Mike Brown being hired. And as a Knick fan, the five things he liked what he heard from him. A little preview. So we're going to get that coming up. We've touched on a lot of what's happened here. If you're just joining us, first of all, from the Mets standpoint, Starlin Marte lands on the IL. Jesse Winker is back. They are in Baltimore tonight, a 6:40 first pitch. Thunderstorms are supposed to move through Baltimore as well as New York this evening. You could get some sort of rain delay in the Met game tonight. In the New York area, be careful wherever you are. We are under severe thunderstorm watches depending on your area. You could get some rain in the Bronx at some point tonight as well. Obviously, the gates are going to open. I don't think this looks like any complete washout by any means, but it's summer, it's July, and that's what happens.
Right.
Everything becomes Florida. So just keep an eye out on that. And again, with the Yankees, Mark Leiter Jr. has landed on the injured list with a stress fracture on a fibula head bone connected to the knee bone, connected to the hip bone. And it happened basically 2 weeks ago versus the Reds covering first base. And the Yankees somehow failed to see this as he continued to give up runs. And now he has landed on the injured list, which you combine that with the Jazz Chisholm bum throwing shoulder and them continuing to play him at third. Now he's back at second finally. When you combine that with the Clark Schmidt news, and something doesn't smell right with the way the Yankees have handled things medically. But that's where we're at right now. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls. Matt in Mayo Pack. Matt, what's up?
I'm glad that you started to recap what is going on because it remade my blood boil. And if you hit me last segment, I would have been on fire. So the more I'm talking about my point real quick, I'll definitely get more hot. It all starts from the top down. If Hal Steinbrenner never gave Aaron Judge that contract, the Yankees would not be anywhere near where they are right now. Let's get that started. They would be an awful franchise. That is number one. Number two, you get down for the next list, you go right down to Cashman, okay? This guy's been running the same analytical system, having a manager as a puppet, which is probably why Girardi got fired, okay? Because he could push Aaron Boone and do whatever he wants analytically, and he's got no feel for the actual game of baseball. He doesn't put out that consistent lineup. He doesn't actually implement the people that have been playing their positions for the amount of time through the minors and the major leagues, which it takes a very long time to get to the majors.
Right.
Okay. And he's playing them in their secondary role.
Sorry, I think we lost you there.
Yeah,
Matt,
you broke up. But basically what he was saying is that this regime, Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, and I don't know whose purview it is to decide who plays where, but you bring these guys up or trade for them, like Jazz. And then you think it's okay to put them in positions that they're not groomed to play.
Right.
What's the point?
And furthermore, even if they're not groomed to play, then you compound it by making them play it while he can't make the throws because his shoulder hurts.
Right, but you're talking Jazz. I'm talking also Jason Dominguez.
Jason Dominguez.
We talked about all
day yesterday. Fielder.
He's a center fielder.
Came up in the minors as a center fielder.
Why would you even think about bringing in him and not putting him in a position he's most comfortable with? And we saw it in spring training.
Yes.
He was going to struggle. And I get the whole, all right, just let him learn on the job, which is fine if you don't have a high expectation. The problem is the Yankees have a high expectation to get back to and win a World Series. And so experimenting with a guy in left field, it's dangerous. Now, it hasn't hurt you, but why not just put him where he's most comfortable?
Exactly.
Especially when you have a veteran in Cody Bellinger who can play anywhere and will play anywhere. And we've seen him, and just this last weekend, make one of the best plays in left field that you'll see in a long time.
People argued against that point, Tiki, that I made yesterday that you're recapping, talking about the idea of, well, look at how good a center fielder Trent Grisham is. I don't want to live in the right now. I want to take you back to when the decision was made to move Jazz to left field. The decision was made with the idea Cody Bellinger was a better center fielder than he was a left fielder, so let's mess this up. The Yankees, to their credit, well, I guess maybe not to their credit, they did not foresee Trent Grisham having this offensive explosion he had this year.
Because he's always been a great defensive player. He's got a gold glove.
And remember, the beginning of the year when they started to play Dominguez early, it was Grisham would come in the seventh inning, play center. They would shift Bellinger over. And Grisham's bat, with more at-bats, took off. And I think that was a blessing for the Yankees. But don't let that cloud the fact now. The Yankees didn't make the call on moving Dominguez to left because Grisham, they thought, was going to be the everyday center fielder. That wasn't the plan in spring training.
It was because Cody Bellinger was going to play center field.
And as we've learned, Cody Bellinger's a damn good left fielder.
He's a damn good anywhere outfielder.
Exactly.
Put him anywhere.
So he would not have been a hindrance in left field with Dominguez in center.
No, you're right. Even if he was, he's here for a year.
So they willingly made things harder on Jason Dominguez with new judging on angles on fly balls when he was already trying to work on his offensive game for quite literally a made-up reason when you find out Bellinger's a plenty good left fielder.
Yeah.
It is backward. 888-808-1019. Mike in Westchester. Mike, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good.
A couple of things. Tiki, I just wanted to let you know, I don't know why you're not in the Hall of Fame. I looked at your numbers yesterday.
Amen.
13,000 all-purpose yards, 4.7 yards per carry.
Thank you, Mike.
You were one of the most dominant running backs in a six-year period there where you averaged 1,500 yards per year. And then I compared you to other guys like Earl Campbell and other guys.
Yeah.
And I think it's partly why you're not in the Hall of Fame.
Partly it's because there's a lot of running backs in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And so we just get evaluated differently. There hasn't been running back gone in I think almost 7-8 years. Whenever Edgerrin James
I understand that, but if you're going to put guys in that have lower yards per carry average than you as many all-purpose yards as you.
Mike, I'm going to let you make your point. I'll speak to that watching Tiki's whole career, too. Tiki is almost punished for being ahead of the curve with those all-purpose yards.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
It's crazy.
That's not why I called. Why I called is I want to give each of you guys an opportunity.
Yep.
To be general manager for one day. Sean, being that you're the big Yankee fan, if Steinbrenner came to you and said you can make one move, what would that be? And Tiki, if Steve Cohen came to you and said there's one move that you could make, what move would you make? What would it be? Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate you. If I was, on behalf of Evan Roberts, going to make, what do the Mets need? They need another bat, but who is it? And see, the problem with the Mets, and I think with Steve Cohen and David Stearns, is that they truly believe that Mark Vientos is going to be their trade deadline acquisition. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he's going to turn it back on and become that player. And to some degree, I want to believe it with him. But how long do you have to make that decision? Well, the answer is 2 weeks, 3 weeks, actually, 3 weeks before the trade deadline on the 31st. So you have 3 weeks to see if Mark Vientos is going to be that bat in your lineup that puts you kind of over the top. And so if he doesn't come through, who is it? Right? We've been talking about Suarez for a long time, Eugenio Suarez. To me, that's who it is.
Oh, my God.
And so when we talk about the Yankees needing Suarez, the Mets also could use Suarez. And there's, I think, three or four other teams. They could use Suarez.
That would hurt me more than Soto.
So the point about, you know, the Yankees going after Suarez or whoever the third baseman may be, the Mets might also do it. Honestly.
Yeah.
And so, and as we talked about earlier, Sean, who's more likely to make that deal happen?
The Mets.
Exactly.
David Stearns at least acknowledged that they're going to have to make some outside noise.
Right.
Ooh, can I go now?
Yeah, you can go.
I would unfortunately tell Brian Cashman, thank you. You're a Hall of Famer. the time has come for a new change.
You?
Not me.
I mean, meaning you want Cashman?
I want Cashman out. And we're in a respectful way.
No, we're talking players, man.
No. But this is one move for the Yankees, because I think this changes everything. And I would go to Theo Epstein and say, how much money is it going to cost you to get out of your part ownership of the Fenway Group? You change the Red Sox, you change the Cubs, come for the trifecta, and fix the New York Yankees once and for all.
Yeah, but they don't need change. They need fine-tuning.
Okay. You call it fine-tuning, I'll call change fine-tuning.
Okay.
I think that's the perfect baseball mind to replace him. Now it's going to cost a lot of money because he's invested in all this stuff with the Fenway Group, but
right.
I'm in. You know why I say that? It's one thing to say fire Brian Cashman, and then the answer becomes, who are you replacing right. him with? At least I'm giving you a name with a track record.
That one just seems not doable.
It's a
great suggestion. It just seems not doable.
Oh, 100%. But also me making a decision for the Yankees right. is not doable. True. So I was working on hypotheticals.
If we want to complete the foursome here, uh-huh. my pick would be anytime you could get a future Hall of Famer, you do it. Jose Ramirez, who I've always been a huge fan of, third base, solves it, like Tiki was saying with Suarez.
Right.
Jose Ramirez is so underrated. He's a Hall of Famer. And Evan would say Jacob DeGrom. If he had one, selfishly, and also that's Evan's number one. If he had the power,
is starting pitching going to ultimately be the problem? Say 3 weeks from now, is it still going to be the issue?
I don't think so, but you have to be realistic in that Senga does get hurt a lot,
yeah.
And we don't know if Manaea can continue to be healthy when he gets back because of the loose bodies. So
right.
in theory, those two
and
guys
Montas
are coming back.
Is he's there? I mean, he's right. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's all right. It's just you don't know.
And Jake's a bona fide stud ace.
Oh, he's a Cy Young candidate.
Absolutely. More on Manaea and his return and how they play.
Now, which one is most likely to happen? Because DeGrom to the Mets, Cashman gets fired, Ramirez to the Mets, or Suarez to the Mets? What is the most likely?
I think Suarez to the Mets is the most likely.
And you know how I know? Because when he said it, my stomach sank, which is hard to do because it's a big stomach. And I went, oof. And I'm serious, by the way. All the stuff we had with Soto, and it's one thing to lose him. That's when the Mets start acting differently. If you start getting the guys the Yankees want at the trade deadline in season, I know that sounds crazy to anybody who wants to hear it, but I'm serious. You want to sink the Yankee battleship and make the fans really cry? Start getting the guys they really need at the deadline.
Yeah, I hear you.
Let me make you feel a little bit better, Sean. This is a peace offering. You say I hate the Yankees or whatever. I think Suarez is more important for the Mets. I think the Yankees don't need a splash player. I think they need more gamers, grinders. They're Tommy Edman. They're Kike Hernandez. So
I can see that.
The Mets adding a Suarez, I get it. But the Yankees don't need a splash player. They don't need a guy that hits 40 home runs. They need a guy that makes contact, does the little things to complement the guys they already have. They already lead the league in home runs.
But
why do they need Suarez?
Because he's the third baseman they need. Now, if you're giving me that guy that plays third base, fine. Because you got to make the position fit, too. I think Jason Dominguez and Cody Bellinger, by the way, are some of those guys you're talking about that the Yankees have added to add to the flexibility of the roster.
Is Key Brian Hayes that player? I mean, he hasn't reached his full potential, but you like the fact Charlie Hayes' son
plays third base
for the Yankees.
I'm not taking a guy based on his father. I got one father yelling at fans. I don't need another guy I'm taking because his father caught an out in a World Series.
Well, I'm just trying to...
Now, if he could help the Yankees, fine, but that's not why I'm making that move.
Yeah, okay, fine. But I'm saying a guy that maybe is less of a home run hitter, maybe a little bit more contact at third base that could give you that gamer player. That you had in the 90s.
Fine. They'll probably misuse him anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, look, that's really what you need. Runners in scoring position.
A hitter. A ball.
That's what you need.
A ball player.
A ball player.
They need a ball player.
Do it however you need it. Be old school. Make hits when and make contact when you need it most.
You need the players to actually play on the field better than, more importantly, than managing and general managing. You need the players to actually perform, which they haven't done in a big moment.
But
yeah, exactly.
We're talking trade deadline stuff. We're talking, if you're going to make your team better with a player, who is it going to be?
That's
what we were specifically asked.
It goes without saying, but it's Rosie saying, and so, of course, he states the obvious.
Yes.
You know who had actually...
And I'm also surprised you didn't say fire Boone instead of Cashman.
Because it doesn't matter. Here's the truth. I have my issues with Aaron Boone. Firing Aaron Boone, if we're being real, is not going to make a difference to the Yankees because then the next hire, they're not going to hire some kind of crazy, like, I'm going to do it my way baseball. They're going to hire somebody that fits what Brian Cashman wants.
Right.
So it's wash, rinse, and repeat. It's not going to do anything.
I think, Sean, you had the worst answer. Because
Why?
You're mid-season. You're already sort of halfway through your voyage here.
That's like
here.
Quitting the season.
Right. I understand firing Cashman in the off-season. The mid-season, you're not even getting a player.
But
you're
so
just firing Cashman.
Exactly. Then who's making any decisions?
Because I'm kicking the can down the road. At least I know. I think
you're giving up on the year.
It's not giving up on the year.
What are you saying? They're just going to make the postseason anyways? And yes. So it's somewhat successful regardless?
And then you're going to just enter with the same philosophical approaches. I'm using that word right today.
You did.
Next year. So I'd rather at least wipe the slate clean. If you're asking me, if I get the power to make one move, why wouldn't I make one move that I think changes the trajectory of the franchise
long-term? Right, like
long-term.
If the genie came out of the lamp here and you're Aladdin.
Like,
you're making a big-time move. You're
exactly.
You're playing chess. We're over here playing checkers.
If this was Shaq and Shazam, that's what I'm going with.
Shazam, that's
long-term,
what you want?
Long-term, not short-term.
Well, Shaq's the most famous genie of all time, is he not?
He is not. That would be Robin Williams as the genie in Aladdin.
I heard this interesting stat today. This is completely off the radar, and it has nothing to do with baseball. But it was just interesting to me, so I'm gonna share it with you all.
All right.
Do you know who the most used literary character in film and television is? In the history of film and television. Literary character.
Okay. Can I guess?
Human.
Oh, it's a human.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to guess bat because you said you had a bat story.
No, not yet.
More on that. Okay.
Yes.
You'll tell us when we want to do that. Most literary. So a human character.
So it's like a human. It's not like a Baloo. You know what I mean?
And okay. When you say, what do you mean by
like
that?
It's like it's a human. Like it's
like a person that existed
it's not
that is
Air
reused.
Bud.
No. Could be fake. It's a could literary be, character. But it could be, but it's a human being. It's not like
it's
Superman.
Not a, it's not a dog.
It's, yeah, or a dog.
A farmer.
No. A specific person.
Okay, but you said it could be fake.
It is, but it could be, but it's a specific person.
All right, Tommy, you go first so I can kind of get an idea of what to guess.
What Tiki doesn't realize here is that both Sean and I are idiots, so we're not really
it doesn't matter if you read. Just think about the movies that you watch.
But you mean like referenced in movies?
Who's most represented in movies?
Or that's what I was trying to
figure
out.
Seen the movie with this person 1,000 times. You're not going to get it. But I should just tell you.
Is there a hint coming?
Maybe. He smokes a pipe.
Smokes a pipe.
Popeye?
No.
Shakespeare.
My Churchill. My
Uncle Louis. Shakespeare's a writer.
I was going to say Churchill. I meant Churchill with the pipe.
I'll tell you. Sherlock Holmes.
Oh!
The most
used
literary character in movies and television.
What put him over the top? That Will Ferrell bad movie?
No. You know who the most is character?
Who?
Dracula.
Really?
Yeah. Because of vampire movies.
Vampires and Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Have they ever been a combo duo?
No, I don't think so.
Now but we might be onto something.
Abraham Lincoln and Vampire Hunter was a vampire hunter. I don't know why that just popped in my head.
That is, of all the Tiki Barber rabbit
random,
holes.
It was random rat hole I was in.
Rat hole? Not even a rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole. Oh.
I was hoping you would say bat hole.
Right. You got me thinking bat. But it's the most random rabbit hole I've ever been in.
Do you want to give the bat story now?
Yes. So this morning. So I'm in the city. I came in early because I'm shooting for College & Co.
Okay.
New gear. New fall gear. So I was sweating wearing this stuff in 98 degree temperature.
What a day.
In fact,
for
it's so hot over at MetLife Stadium where they're playing the semifinal of the FIFA Club World Cup. They just had to take a hydration break.
Wow.
in the middle of a soccer match, which they never do. But anyways, so we're shooting this thing for College & Co. And my wife is frantically calling me. And so I can't pick up the phone because I'm in the middle of this photo shoot. Weren't changing clothes and et cetera. I was trying not to sweat my butt off. And I finally pick up the phone. She's like, where have you been? There's a bat in our house.
In the house?
In the house. And I said, what do you mean there's a bat in the house? Where did it come from? Oh, how did it get in the house? And what are you doing with this bat in our house?
Oh, my God.
And she said, it's in the chimney because we have a little, it's not a fireplace, but it's just like this little fire thing.
Like a wood-burning stove kind of deal?
It's never used. It's not even real wood. It's fake.
Fake,
so I don't even know if there's a flue in it.
Oh,
right?
Man.
So, but there's a bat that's in there, and Tracy's mom is like trapping it in with a bag, and they're calling the exterminator to come and get this bat out.
So I'm
like,
she's holding a bag up against
the
opening.
She's holding this thing to keep this bat in there. So like, the exterminator comes, and they think that it might be. We have a little crawl space in the bedroom and in the second floor bedroom that's just like storage.
Right.
It's a little tall. You got to duck in to get in. We put books and stuff in there. And there might be a colony of bats in there.
Are you kidding?
And if there are a colony of bats, because this is like baby season for bats, they can't get rid of it.
What do you mean they can't get rid of it? You own the house.
It's a protected animal. So they can't get rid of it if there are babies in there.
Hold on.
And so when I get home today, I've been gone since like 8 o'clock this morning. When I get home today, there's either going to be bats gone, one bat, or there's going to be a colony of bats in my cubby closet.
All right. There goes Pete. No, this is not even a rabbit hole. We need to have a serious conversation about society right now. First of all, I hope for the best. I hope it was one bag.
So we had to call the exterminator. It was like $300 for the exterminator just to come out and take a look.
So how would they have gotten in the
I don't know. The
crawl space?
That's what I don't know.
Right, but because you're saying you don't know if there's flue, so it wouldn't come down the chimney to end up in
right.
That.
We have a flue in our regular chimney, but it's blocked.
And opening smell. If you're telling me that we live in a world now, because bats are protected, that you can own a house anywhere here or New Jersey or whatever, and bats can come and make baby bats in your home.
Yes.
And exterminators are not allowed to get rid of them because they're protected, which would mean, I'm not kidding, basically what you're describing is bats have squatters' rights in your house. That's what it is. You're telling me I can't get rid of them. They have the right to live because they're babies.
That is basically what Tracy told me today. And that because it is mating, not mating, but baby season. Like they've made it already. They have babies in the summer and they sit in these cool environments. And then they hatch in the or whatever. They're born. I don't know how they're born. I don't know if they're eggs. I think they probably are eggs, but whatever.
No.
And if there's a colony there, we can't move them.
No, that's. I'm just going to say.
I'm like, we're moving then.
Exactly. I love animals. I have two dogs. I've had, cats when I was a kid, and I respect animals. Bats are not pets.
No.
And I don't know. All right, they bite mosquitoes, all this stuff. I'm saying this to say, whether you're PETA or one of these animal preservation people, my take to you would be, get bleeping lost. In my home, you want to have bats live in your home? We will pick them up in a box and they can live in your home.
By the way, I don't mind them because of what you just said.
In the backyard.
In the backyard, in the trees.
Not my house.
Eat the mosquitoes. Keep it.
Who knows what disease they have? They don't get to live in my house because you say they have babies. And No.
When I think of bats, I think rabies.
Exactly. And if an exterminator won't do it, I will find one under the table that will. And anybody who wants to complain and go, you can't do that to the bats, get lost, have the bats live in your home then. Animal protection people go too far sometimes. Bats are flying rats, they are rodents, and they have no place living in a home. That's absurd. You know what I would do? I would get the glue traps, and I would duct tape them to my ceiling.
Come on.
I would.
But then you're just going to take them out.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to die.
Well, what do you do if a mouse comes in your house? They crawl on the glue trap, right?
Yeah. But those are mice.
These are mice with wings. They don't live in your home. You have kids. I wouldn't take yes for it. I'd never use that exterminator. No, I'm not going to tell you which. I would never use an exterminator again. It wouldn't remove bats because of that.
Colony of bats. Where do you live? Wayne Manor? And they're not living there. They're not paying rent. They're not having a ham sandwich with you on the couch.
If there's one, there's many.
How could you sleep tonight?
I mean,
how could you sleep tonight knowing they could be in that crawl space?
My door is going to be locked. It's in the room that my mother-in-law is staying in.
Well, then by all means,
she's gotta deal with it.
Seal up that space so Justin can just like seal it up.
Yeah, you can build them a guest house.
They can't get out anyway, so it didn't come out into the house. It came out into this little side chimney that we have in our breakfast room.
But eventually they have to get out, even when they grow from being babies. Let's just live in this weird world where you allow these bats to be raised.
They got in. Somehow, which I don't know. I don't know how.
So eventually when they're not babies and they're raised, then what? Then you open up the door and they fly out in your house like it's hocus pocus?
Staying.
That's crazy.
I think once they're not babies anymore, you can then exterminate them, right?
I would hope. Oh, okay. So let them be raised to the point they remember how they die.
They got to graduate college first.
That seems like a real dynamite plan by PETA.
I
don't think it was PETA, by the way.
Whatever.
It's Peter King.
The Bat Society.
Bat Society of America. Tiki's wife, Tracy, is afraid to fly. You think she's going to allow baby bats to basically, grow up in her house?
Exactly
it's not happening.
Right,
so I got news for the exterminator and his band of merry men. It's not happening. So, you know what I mean? It's not. So they'll figure out a way to move these babies to a bat colony outside world. And they'll, you know what? Snooki maybe wants the bats,
Yeah.
Why don't you offer the bats to Snooki? Yeah, perhaps she would like that.
Maybe she has them in her house, too. Maybe it's a whole neighborhood
thing. She's at the top of the hill, so maybe.
Could you imagine that an exterminator coming to your house and saying, I know you have 1,000 bats in your house. I'm just spitballing. They have to stay there because they're babies.
I've had a possum fall through my ceiling, a rabbit fall through my ceiling.
You had the rats.
I had rats in my neighborhood, yep.
No, not your neighborhood. You had them in your house about a year ago.
Where's my house in the neighborhood?
Dr. Doolittle?
Jumanji, man.
He's Ace Ventura.
Jumanji had exterminators. Comes crazy over there. But now, bats, forget it. That seems like a good time for a Yankee call. Pete Massapequa. Pete, what's up?
What up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I wear all my emotions on my sleeve. But quick question. Considering they can't make any moves that work, and I know it's going to be blasphemy and every Yankee fan is going to kill me, and I'm a 52-year-old Yankee fan, what would you think about the Yankees literally putting Judge on the block for maybe five
times?
Come on, stop.
You can't do that.
Let's trade Aaron Judge for six prospects they can't develop.
Aaron Judge is the next Yankee Hall of Famer. Oh. Like, what are we talking about?
Of all the Yankee issues.
King Aaron Judge.
I'll allow that after that call. We've reached a point
here. Emotionally disturbed by that one.
Tiki's got bats. We got callers asking to trade Aaron Judge. The Yankees don't know what injuries are happening.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
Nobody cares that Mike Brown got hired. I mean, there's a lot of things going on today. All right. I'm going to take a deep breath, calm down, hope the rodents are getting cleared out of...
I'll check on the bats.
Yeah, for the person that tweeted me, they're mammals, not rodents. Get lost. They're rats with wings. I don't care what they lay.
Okay, you talk about somebody that's too much time on their hands. Right, decided to tweet at you that a bat is a mammal.
Exactly.
Please.
My mother-in-law just wrote me, bring tennis rackets home. We have work to do.
By the way, I love bring tennis rackets home. This is typical. Anybody that thinks we work here like we're a sporting goods store. We talk about sports, all right? We don't have a rack of golf. Well, maybe we do. A golf club sitting there.
She said, we have work to do. Bring tennis rackets.
Ghostbusters. They did not exterminate them.
15 love for the Paupers.